Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This is... Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team sucked.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
All right, then. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maz on a Thursday. Felger back in the a-hole chair. Maz in the Maz chair. Big Jim Murray.
Felger back where he belongs.
About to sit down in the update studio. Did you rename that chair, by the way? Is that the Dubois chair?
The third chair?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Dubois chair. Yeah.
So, Big Jim Murray back in that chair as soon as he gets settled. And, well, I'm back here anyway after a lengthy absence and looking forward to getting back into it. How you doing?
Good, you?
Oh, just peachy. Okay, so enough of the pleasantries. I'm sorry. We have Billy Lanny behind the glass because you may have heard or may not have heard, but executive producer James Stewart has produced a Spawn.
He has.
And so this is my first chance to congratulate him publicly on the birth of a baby daughter. How cool is that? Big James Stewart, Jimmy Stewart, and his lovely wife, Randy, gave birth to Willow Ruby Stewart.
Beautiful name.
Oh, and that's what I wanted to spend about at least 60 seconds on. Great names, guys. Seriously. I love those names.
No, I did too. I saw the name Willow, and I said, that's a nice name.
Oh.
Like, that is a nice name for a baby girl.
Only to be outdone by Ruby. I love both. I love both those names. Ruby.
Sounds like she's destined to be an actress.
What a great name.
The only one that I can think of that would have been better was Willow Maz Stewart.
Oh, but Ruby, classic. Like, classic. Oh, love it. And Willow, beautiful. Beautiful name, guys. Excellent. Wow. And so many people screw that thing up. You know, all these new fricocta names. You're like, what's that? Never heard of that before. What's this? What's that? You named him what? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, we named him Rumple.
It's like, all these new names. Give me something I've heard of that maybe someone's grandma might be. I know that sounds lame, but I don't know. I mean, what can I tell you?
But maybe we named him Happy.
Willow Ruby Stewart. We'll get to Happy here in a second. I need to catch up on Happy. But anyway, congratulations. All of our thoughts. And again, our congratulations to Jimmy Stewart and his wife, Randy. Willow Ruby Stewart. What do you think your first words are going to be?
Get it yourself. Or Isaiah sucks, like one or the other. I don't know which one.
I believe.
Yeah.
I believe.
I believe. I believe.
All right. So again, congratulations to Jimmy Stewart. As I was gone the last week, I listened to you guys. I can't help it. I'm chronic. I'm one of those guys that doesn't go off the grid. I sort of keep in touch. You know, in my analog form, I watch, I listen. And so I was watching your program, listening to the program yesterday. Maz, where you had a nice big picture idea about who do you have the most confidence in, and, you know, of the four teams in town, who instills the most confidence in you, which I thought was a nice little topic. And I listened to you guys, and all of you.
Little topic.
All of you had someone beneath the Bruins. In other words, if you ranked them 1 to 4, you were all most confident in the Celtics. And then in some order, it was Bruins, Patriots, Red Sox, and you all had someone underneath the Bruins.
Right. The Bruins are no worse than third on anybody's list.
In other words, you two, Jamokes, have more faith in the Boston Bruins than the Boston Red Sox.
Correct.
Yeah, that is correct.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I stutter?
No, but...
Do you think I lie? Why would I lie?
How could you possibly feel that way?
Because the Bruins have won a playoff series in the last 2 years. That's how. The Red Sox haven't, and they've had a better team.
So wait a minute. You're saying this Toronto gag job, where the goalie couldn't stop a beach ball in the third period, counts as like a confidence-building thing for you and the Bruins versus the Red Sox?
Yep.
That's asinine.
No. Yep.
Playoff success in the Red Sox.
Playoff success.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. And the unpredictability of the NHL playoffs. I would, if Rask can get hot, I know it's a big ask.
Good luck.
But it's you're more likely to see the Bruins have more playoff success this coming season than the Red Sox, even with their 65 wins, which, by the way, welcome back, Mike.
Oh, no.
In case you don't know, there's a new asterisk in town. No longer for the Bridgie Celtics, it's for the 2018 Red Sox, 65 wins and counting. With an asterisk.
Seriously, what's the matter with you? Is it nine straight now?
Nine in a row, yeah.
Yeah.
They're on pace for, is it like 115 wins?
I don't know, something stupid like that, yeah.
What's the number? It's like that, right?
It's high. Yeah, it's high.
It's the most, it's the best record they've ever had in, I don't know, a gazillion years, and it's, they're, whatever, 30 games over 500.
Whee! Yeah.
And we're just...
And that means what?
It doesn't mean you're good? It doesn't mean that...
No, they're good. They're good.
Okay, so to the point where the Bruins, who, again... have won one playoff series in 4 or 5 years.
And it just happens to have been 3 months ago.
And they only won it because they were facing the biggest loser organization in just about sports. Bottom five, for sure.
W is a W.
And they squeak through and then get their asses thoroughly outclassed in the second round. And that is, you think they're farther ahead or you have more confidence in that outfit than the Boston Red Sox.
They got outclassed by a team that has more talent, right?
Yes.
Okay. The Red Sox 2 years ago, did they play a team with more talent or less?
More.
Cleveland?
More.
Less.
No.
And that
more.
Is also
no.
Cleveland
less.
Went to Game 7 of the World Series.
They I don't give a rat's ass where they went.
Extra innings of Game 7 of the World Series. They proved they were a better team than
oh,
you.
Oh, God, please stop. They get their asses kicked. There was plenty of talent on that team, and they choked.
Who had a better record that
they
year?
They gagged.
Who had a better record that year?
You had the Cy Young Award winner.
Who had a better record that year?
You had the Cy Young Award winner, Rick Porcello, on the team.
Is his microphone not, is his headphones not working? Who had a better record that year, Red Sox or Indians?
What's that mean? What's that
oh, I don't know. Just the record? I don't know what that means.
You play divisional play. It doesn't matter. You don't have
oh
the same schedule.
Seriously.
The record doesn't mean anything.
And the Indians, much like the Toronto Maple Leafs, are institutional losers. And the Red Sox couldn't even win.
Good
one
point, Murray.
One game against them.
I knew there was a reason you were here.
Seriously. Seriously.
They can finish with 120 wins. They're going to lose in the first round again.
And you say that why?
Because they're a bunch of gutless losers. Up and down the roster.
Set a team on a pace. So you said about a team on a pace for 115 wins. There's the best record in baseball. They're a bunch of, what'd you call them?
Gutless losers.
You think the Red Sox are a bunch of gutless losers?
I'm probably not going to lump Chris Sale in there because as Marshall Hook said yesterday, and he's right to say this, it was only one playoff game for him so far. So, you know, the book isn't written on him and his playoff futility just yet. The rest of them? David Price. Oh, so David Price now. We automatically trust David Price in a playoff start. As a caller said brilliantly yesterday, they're already down 0-1 in the playoffs.
It's true. The guy did call up and say that.
The bullpen stinks.
They're already down 1-0 in the division series.
It's unbelievable.
And they're cleaning up on terrible competition. It's weighted. Thus the asterisk. Oops.
You can't possibly be serious that you have faith in the Red Sox.
You can't possibly be serious that you have more faith in the Bruins.
No, the better way to phrase it is I have less faith in the Red Sox. That's the better way to phrase it.
I mean, Hook had more faith in the Bruins than the Patriots?
Correct,
what?
Yeah.
Wait, have you been sharing some of the stuff here, Murray?
No.
In my absence,
nope.
You've been passing the pipe before the show or something?
Nope. And you're hot about the Bruins because they made that commercial with you.
No. I'm just, it's just, how could you have no idea what the Bruins are yet. They made a jump from the bottom third of the league to the top third of the league, but that's it. You have no idea beyond that. The Red Sox are on pace with the third straight division, best record in baseball. The Patriots and Celtics we don't even need to get to. I mean... Come on.
No. You're right. We don't know what the Bruins are yet. But we do know that the Red Sox are...
gutless and going to lose in the first round of the playoffs for a third straight year.
That they're already down 1-0 in the division series.
Gutless losers.
Yeah.
So this is on the tail of their ninth straight win on pace for, again, is it 115? It's something
112.
Like this. They're on pace for 112. Then we come out and we say they are gutless losers.
Yeah. Who did they beat last night?
The Texas Rangers.
Wrong. Nobody. They didn't beat anybody. The Rangers beat themselves. Then two nights before that, or three nights before that, in Kansas City, who did they beat? The Royals, who suck. So great. The nine in a row. Fabulous. Again, the Red Sox.
So it doesn't count, Murray.
Yeah, no, again, the asterisk. Like, they're a good team, but they're going to let everyone down in the playoffs again this year. It's a given. I don't know how anyone can convince themselves otherwise, because what means more, these last nine games or losing 2 out of 3 to New York a couple of weekends ago?
I'd give you the 2 out of 3 to New York a couple weekends ago, but what are they, 4-5 against the Yankees?
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like if they play the Yankees, that's a 7-game series. Something like that.
Maybe.
Feels like they're back and forth toe-to-toe.
Maybe.
You wouldn't take your chances with that?
No.
So you have a team that's going to go toe-to-toe with the Yankees in the ALCS, and that gives you less confidence than the Bruins. Bruins, who, let's face it, if they miss the playoffs next year, would you be really surprised if they took a step back?
I have more confidence in the Bruins right now than I do the Red Sox.
That is insanely, putridly insane.
You can call it stupid if you want.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, call it whatever you want. I really don't care. I'm not changing my mind.
That's ridiculous. Nope. And last night, another win, their ninth straight, makes you feel worse about them than better. That's the sense I'm getting. You feel worse about them.
Yeah, especially with that bullpen. That looks like it's real short up here. They have to. Dave Dombrowski needs to get another arm. He needs to get a setup man. But how's he going to do that unless he wants to trade a Rafael Devers or someone like that? Because the asking price, rightfully, should be high for someone like Brad Hand. You know, there was supposedly some interest there with San Diego a few weeks back. Who do they want? They want Rafael Devers. Are they going to move him? Unlikely. Oh, so let's dip into our farm system. Oh, it's barren. We have nothing. So they're going to stay the same, or maybe add some like old washed up guy like, who is it, Fernando Rodney, or what's his name?
Yep, you get it right.
Minnesota Twins, 41 years old, okay, having a decent season. He'll come here, he'll puke himself, just like, who is it, Lynch, or who was the guy that they had a couple of years ago, Brad Lind? Either way, they'll add an old washed up bum to this bullpen because they can't afford to make a deal for anyone worthwhile. Whereas the Yankees can. They'll get better. The Red Sox really won't. They'll puke themselves in the playoffs again.
You of all people.
No, but I just think that this like overriding negativity on this heels of nine straight wins is, even by our standards, pushing it, fellas.
Well, it's got nothing to do with the nine straight wins. They could win every game from here on out for the rest of the season, as far as I'm concerned. If they don't win in the first round of the playoffs, it's a failure.
Oh, sure. I agree with that.
And they have no reason yet. They have done nothing yet to win my trust or my confidence. Nothing.
Chris
Not
Sale?
Yet.
Chris Sale?
He was good last year at this time.
Oh, my God. You say it with the thing in your voice. Say something nice about Chris Sale, because I know you feel something good about Chris Sale.
He competes.
Okay. We got something.
He competes his ass off. But again, I knew that about him. The thing that struck me about Sale last night and in that game last night, man, the juxtaposition or the contrast with him and Price when you watch them pitch. Look at how into it one guy is against Texas. He gets out of a first and third with nobody out by starting a 1-6-3 double play, and he's coming off the mound screaming into his glove and covering it up because he didn't want his mother to see what he was saying. Right? Like that? I will take that guy no matter what.
Okay, so why does that not give you confidence if that's your ace?
Well, because he was this good at this time last year.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, no, and then he got into late August, September, and October, and he had nothing in the tank. And I'm not convinced yet that it will be there this time. They're doing the right things. What if he's just one of these guys that hits the wall? What if he's just one of these guys that gets to 175 innings?
And you're going to err on feeling that that's the guy that he is.
No, I am going to err on the side of believing what I have seen in the past. Until I see it happen, I don't believe it. That's how I am.
Okay, this is where we're opening.
If that makes me a pessimist, so be it.
Yes, be it. We're starting with the Red Sox and how these guys have the least amount of faith of any team in town in the Boston Red Sox. Nine straight, on pace for .112. Franchise record sort of pace, best record in baseball. They have the least confidence of any team in town in that team. Does that make any sense to you? We'll take your calls right after this.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger Nass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Yep. What a pleasure. 98 miles an hour, the 12th strikeout of the night.
What a capper.
So there's your Chris Sale thing, Maz.
He's filthy, isn't he? He is. He's filthy. And to me, it's not the, like, you know, I know the numbers over the last seven starts, like 5-1, ridiculously low ERA, blah, blah, blah. It's the situation to me that mattered last night. That sixth inning, first and third, nobody out. Strikeout double play. Next inning, his last one of the game, and he knew what he struck out the side, walked off the mound. Like, there's just, when he's on the mound in a night like last night, there's a different feeling in that ballpark than there is when anyone else is on the field. It's different. It's just different. And it's not Pedro, and I'm not telling you it's any of that.
And that doesn't give you confidence in the team?
Not yet, no. What? How am I supposed to get geeked up on July 11th against Texas about what they're going to do in October? Are you serious with that?
Yes, of course I am.
Oh, God, please. You're out of your mind. You are completely, absolutely, positively delusional.
If you want to say you're uncertain.
Yeah, I'm uncertain.
Well, that's fine. But so that's sort of neutral. It's like, boy, they look good, but I do have to see it. Like, that's sort of where I am. But you're sitting there saying you don't have confidence in them.
I don't.
That's a whole nother thing other than we'll see. I think we'll see is reasonable, which is, as usual, where I am. Because I'm usually reasonable. Jim Murray, the gutless losers are going to lose in the first round. I mean, I just, based on what?
You know, that's you, Mr. Reason.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, no,
it
no,
is.
You are. You're even killed. You're very reasonable.
So this is where we're starting. Your
rational
thoughts.
Rational guy.
Alex and Newton, lead us off.
Two things. So, Felger, one, while you were gone, I called Maz's baseball reporters. And I love Maz. This is why he's so smart. I re-polled him on J.D. versus Giancarlo, and he still took Giancarlo. He stuck to his guns. That's fine. He referenced the deal, and obviously, if Giancarlo produces for a lot longer, then, yeah, he'll take Giancarlo. Fine. Then he hung up, and he said, you know, all these things that was kind of agreeing with J.D. is way better than now, and he even said, and maybe I'm acquiescing and proving your point. So, Maz, I love you because your tone is always like you're really disagreeing, but you weren't really, except on the contract.
Yeah, go ahead.
Maz, why are we doing a daily talk show on baseball? Why? Because, honestly, the Red Sox, Mookie Betts could go out and hit 50 home runs tonight, and you'll reference how he hasn't proven himself in the postseason. Murray, they could be first place by 25 games, and you'll say they haven't proven themselves in the playoffs. So why are we doing a daily talk show on baseball? Why?
I'm with you. Especially because if they were doing things poorly, you'd certainly be holding that against them.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't be saying, well, this means nothing. It only matters in October. You'd be saying, no, fatal flaw. So all the stuff they do in the eighth inning, you hold against them as a fatal flaw, the bad stuff. But the good stuff, it doesn't matter. It's the Rangers.
Well, if they had beaten good teams during the regular season, I'd feel differently.
They're 500 against good teams.
I said if they had beaten. Beaten. I didn't say go 500. I said beaten.
That's going toe-to-toe with the good teams.
How are the Yankees against good teams?
Better than you.
Exactly. So, to me,
markedly,
yeah. Now that's the type of performance that I look at with the Yankees, and I say, okay, there you go. There's a team that when they slip up against Baltimore, and they have, we said they you know 5-5 now against the Orioles. They blew a game the other night, and against the Orioles in Tampa, they're 10-9 this year. The Red Sox going in not like they played them 18-5 against Baltimore and Tampa. So that performance alone might win them the division. That might be the deciding factor in winning them the division.
So
if they go up against the Yankees head-to-head, does that mean they'll win?
I think they've got a good chance.
I don't.
So they don't even have a good chance now.
They have a chance. I wouldn't call it a good chance.
They're underdogs in that series.
Head-to-head, Boston and New York. Who do you like?
Yankees.
By a hair.
Oh, okay, but you paused.
Yeah, I mean, because I think it's I think they're toe-to-toe. I think they're neck and neck.
I'll take the Yankees, and I'll tell you why. A, I think they're better. B, they've won in October. They've proved, and they've beaten good competition. So they have proven, when they've gone against good teams in big moments, that they can produce. The Red Sox haven't.
Stanton or Martinez?
Stanton.
Oh, it's J.D. Martinez. Come on, they won this one.
Oh, and I'm still Stanton. And Martinez is 10 times better than I thought. I was totally wrong about him. I thought he'd come here and pull a David Price and flop and suck and not be right for the market and not be right, blah, blah, blah. So I was wrong about him. I'm still taking Stanton. I still think he's a more proven player. And the contract shouldn't bother you. It's really not all that bad. And you'll see when Machado and all these other guys get paid that the Stanton's contract's going to be exactly what he should be making.
I mean, to me, Stanton is, you know, the last month he's been ridiculous.
Yeah, and don't look now, but start comparing the numbers. Someone's creeping up. I think he went 4-for-5 last night. His OPS is up to like 870 or something, which I know. J.D. Martinez has been over 1,000, 1,100 all year. I'm just telling you.
J.D. Martinez is having a better year than Stanton.
He's been phenomenal.
But tell me who's going to be the better player in Boston or New York over the next 6-7 years. I'll take Stanton.
Alan in East Boston. Hi, Alan.
Hello, guys. This is going to come as a bummer, but if the Red Sox get the number one seed in the American League, they cannot face the Yankees in the championship series because the wild card becomes automatically
right.
4 seed. And that people said, oh, they're going to face each other in championship series. No, guys. If any team gets the number one seed, they cannot face each other.
Yeah, let me just stop you. They don't keep the division teams. Didn't they used to?
Yeah, they used to prevent you from playing a team in your
division.
Right.
I think. But now the way it is if the Yankees are the wild card and they win the play-in game, they get you.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're in the DS. You're a 5-game series, not a 7-game series.
Correct.
Is that to your advantage or just think quickly?
I would argue to the Yankees' advantage because you don't need as many starters. You don't need as many starters.
Yeah, but they've already would have just burned their best in the play-in game, presumably.
And the Red Sox have how many good ones?
So that wasn't my question. That was artful.
You know, I love
but
this.
You completely changed the topic by not answering the question.
This is another one I love. As everyone says, well, the Yankees' rotation stinks. Okay, they have Severino, you have Sale.
Oh, I don't think it stinks. I think yours is better, but the Yankees doesn't stink.
Sabathia owns them. And he's actually had playoff success. So, you know, their rotation is definitely like a low point for them, but they're going to fix that. That's you know, they have more ammo to actually make changes and make that team better.
Well, okay, and I don't. And I think so too. I think they're going to fix it. But let's say they don't. Once you get past Sale, who do you believe in?
I don't.
Okay, so this is my point. The Red Sox fans love to throw this one around like no problem. Our rotation's better.
I want to believe in Porcello. I should believe in Porcello because I think he's got an edge to him. Just his demeanor, his comportment on the mound. I feel like. He's a competitor. I feel like he should be good in that spot. He's been around now for a while. He's been in that spot a lot. Pennant race games, playoff games now, all of those things. So he should be that guy. He should.
But
he's never won in the postseason, so how am I supposed to have confidence? I mean, I hear you on that.
0-3, 5.47.
I hear
career
you.
In the postseason. 0-3, 5.47. Like, you know, again, I just, as much as people talk about the strength of the Red Sox rotation, okay, great. After Sale, who? Who?
Bill and Webster. Hi, Bill.
Are you
an owl? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to comment on the discrepancy on the records between the good teams and bad teams for the Yankees and Sox. I mean, it comes down to the Sox have only played in their games, they're 4-2 against the Astros, Seattle, and Yankee at home, and 4-5 away. The big discrepancy is the fact that the Yankees have had 12 home games. They're only 4-3 away, and where they made their big difference is the fact that they've gone 11-4 at home.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there before you give me a popsicle headache. Thank you for the call. Just generally speaking, is there some nuance to the Yankees' record against good teams versus the Red Sox record?
I mean, I would say there always is based on where they are, but I also know the Yankees went into Houston and took 3 out of 4.
And you split.
Yep, and they had to really
scramble. Did they win?
No, that is a big difference.
This is like last night. They scrambled a little bit at the end, but they still won. But somehow now that's like last night's a loss. What was it, Murray? You said this, Jones?
Against Texas.
The Sports Vulture had a tweet that you co-signed on?
Oh, yeah.
Here it is. I got it. To quote Jones on Twitter last night, Red Sox winning, in quotations, Red Sox winning streak doesn't go to 9 tonight. This is Jones after the game. Red Sox, quote-unquote, winning streak does not go to 9 tonight. It stays at 8. Tonight was a Rangers loss, not a Red Sox win.
True.
And Murray writes, do you think people took that well?
Oh, yeah, no, people were very upset at that. But that's Jones at his best. But, yeah, the Rangers blew that last night. You know, credit to Kimbrel coming in and shutting him down, I guess. But still.
We walked in one, then that was it. See you later.
Rangers are.
And he got squeezed on the walk. I'm sorry.
The Rangers blow. They blow. You almost blew a game against the Rangers. Great.
So now it's like they've blown the game.
So I'm going to give them credit for beating the Rangers?
Maybe just being away gives a whole fresh perspective on you people. You are so negative.
No.
God.
No. Maybe some of it
I'm telling
you.
So we've got David Price as well. He's going tonight, right?
He is.
Okay. So he had another interesting moment with Shaughnessy. We'll get to that with more of your phone calls on the Red Sox here on Felger and Maz right after the update.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Chris Sale struck out 12 in 7 innings of shutout ball in his final start before the All-Star game. Mookie Betts also had 2 more hits last night, leading the Red Sox to their 9th straight win. 4-2 was the final, and tonight, Red Sox welcome to the Toronto Blue Jays for the first of this 4-game weekend series. You got David Price on the mound for the Red Sox. Jay Happ will go for Toronto. First pitch, Fenway Park is at 7:10. More Red Sox news. Today they place third baseman Rafael Devers on the 10-day disabled list, retroactive to July 11th. The reason for Devers' trip to the DL, he has inflammation in his left shoulder. So, Zhu-Wei Lin has been brought up from AAA Pawtucket and added to the 25-man roster to temporarily take Devers' spot. And former New York Knicks big man Charles Oakley, he was arrested in Las Vegas, actually on Sunday, for allegedly committing or attempting to commit a fraudulent act in a gaming establishment. He was trying to cheat at a casino, in other words. Headlines are brought to you by the first annual Core Golf Invitational happening July 23rd at Hockington Country Club to benefit the First Tee of Massachusetts. Sign up today at coregolf.com/invitational. That's coregolf.com/invitational. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update, 30 minutes.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Longer than anyone would have imagined. And he popped him up, racing out Odor, coming on to Shields. Odor circling back, and he can't get it.
It falls in. Here comes the run. And down to second, Skipper's. Boy, Odor had all sorts of trouble. You see this when you have the infield in like
that. Yeah, I'm telling you, a can of corn like that for an infielder is deathly, especially when the infield's in. You got to go, you're back to the infield, you turn around, and he's all, he doesn't know where he is.
Colon trying to get out of the inning. In the left center loop, long run to Shields, coming on, sliding over, gets between them. Gallo couldn't get it either. Another run is in. Here comes Bogaerts into third. He'll slide in there to Shields and Gallo, crossing like ships in the night there. Unable to haul it in. It's 4-0.
Boy, you're in mighty opening day. The ball that Nunez hit, that inside the park home run, but ball got away. And that's a triple, RBI triple there for Bogey.
He gets a triple on that. So anyway, those are the plays that lead Big Jim Murray to say that last night was not a win, it was a Rangers loss. Courtesy Adam Jones, trademark Adam Jones. It's why Big Jim Murray's put the asterisk next to the Red Sox 65 wins.
And counting.
It's why Maz continues to be Maz. Odor drops a pop-up for one run, and then those two outfielders, Keystone Kops, out in left center.
It was a thing of beauty, wasn't it?
For another run, and so there you go. That's why the Red Sox did not win. The Rangers lost.
And Colon had an error, too, that you know we didn't even put in there. Like the one that Boca for the triple, that doesn't even get on as an error. Like that play, clown show. That Texas team is a clown show.
Meanwhile, Red Sox have won 9 straight, and Jim Murray has called them gutless losers. Go ahead, Rocco and Medford, your thoughts.
Jim, I want to know how you think the Red Sox are gutless losers.
Well, I'm basing that on the last couple of postseasons, which I expect to be the third postseason in a row when they fail out in the first round again.
Come on, this is different. They have the best 2 hitters in baseball, first of all, and they have 11 more home games than the Yankees after the All-Star break, which means they're going to play Cleveland, the ALDS, and they're going to beat them. Because Cleveland's division is terrible, and they only have 50 wins.
Well, so we just gave you the seedings. If it's actually Red Sox with the one seed and the Yankees as the wild card, you get the Yankees in the second round.
Correct.
I mean, in the DS. You don't get Cleveland.
Right. Finishing with the best record would actually hurt you.
It gets you the wild card, which would be the Yankees-Seattle winner. Right? That's what you're going to get. You're not going to get Cleveland until you get to the ALCS.
So Yankees, and they'll be out in the first round.
Okay.
Again.
So, Murray, would you not say that this team's better than last year's team?
Yeah.
No, they are.
I mean, they are. They're better.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's just admit it. Yeah. Martinez has given them the power.
He's made all the difference in the power in the middle of the lineup.
That they were lacking. They were just about dead last in home runs last year. Now they're way up from that, thanks to Martinez. The manager's better.
Yes.
Now, I'm still not totally sold on him, but I'd say the same thing about the Yankees guy. I think they're in the same boat. And in fact, I'd take Cora over Aaron Boone. But that's a wash there. But anyway, their power hitting's better, and the manager's better.
Yeah.
I think you even saw
that last night, too. I'll give them credit. They are a better team. And in Cora, the way he's utilized Kimbrel, it just feels like already he's been more aggressive going to Kimbrel earlier. Maybe they've had a conversation and he's more more likely to and happy to do it for Cora than he was with Farrell, because that obviously became some kind of a problem as the year went along last year. And the way he's utilizing him, like he did last night, like he leaves Hembry in. If that's Dunderhead and he's still here, I think he's still he leaves Hembry in to try to get out of that trouble.
Dunderhead,
and
for those who can't follow,
that is John Farrell.
Thank you.
John Farrell's here. They lose that game because he sticks with his gut and I'm going to go with Hembry here and this is his spot to get out of, and they end up losing that game. Like, Cora, I think, knows when to get a guy out of trouble.
So the Red Sox are different. They are better.
Oh, they're better than they were a year ago. Yeah, so is New York.
But you don't say that they're different.
And so is Houston. Houston's better, too. They got Gerrit Cole. They got Verlander for a whole year. So all I'm telling you is that the quality of the competition, I'm not judging it on the American. The Red Sox are better. And I'm not going to tell you that J.D. Martinez is going to suck in October. I don't know. J.D. Martinez might be good. Sale might be good this time around. But I'm telling you, a lot of the other ones, I didn't have confidence.
Who's the single most important player on the Red Sox?
Price.
I agree. And notice we're not saying best, right? Your best players are J.D. Martinez and Chris Sale and Kimbrel, and that's sort of the power structure. But what's it going to hinge on? I mean, let's just assume Sale's Sale and wins as postseason starts. What's next?
Price.
It hinges on Price. Dan Shaughnessy, who I just love, Shaughnessy is the one who gets sort of has this rapport with David Price. Out of nowhere.
Perfect.
All right, perfect.
Yeah, two rebels.
Catches, his hair.
two people that everybody hates.
Yes. I don't know what it is. Shaughnessy catches up with Price yesterday in the locker room. Headline, David Price can't afford a third straight stinker. Shaughnessy writes that I had a quick back and forth with my main man, David Price, at his locker Wednesday afternoon.
My main man.
Here's how it went. Me. You said you were searching after that bad outing in Kansas City the other night. Did you find what you were looking for? Price. Yup. Shaughnessy, can you tell me what you learned? Price. Nope. Me, meaning Shaughnessy. Is it mechanical? Price. Yup. Me. How did you end up hitting three guys in one inning? Price. I tried to make sure I got the ball in. I just got it too far in. How's David Price doing so far?
Pretty short answers, yeah. Shaughnessy. I expected him to go up to Price and begin it with, like, what's up, Price?
Well, no, but it's so great. It's like, how you feeling? Good. Have you figured it out? Yup. Can you tell me why? Nope. Is it mechanical? Sure. Okay, how'd you hit three straight guys, David? Like, you know, you can tell. Like, immediately they go, all right, let's just get to the facts. You plunked three guys in a row. You know, but in Price says the usual thing. I was just trying to get it in. I got too far in. So I don't know. It doesn't feel to me like someone who's acknowledged that, you know, I don't know. He's just sort of acting like it, something got away from him.
Oh, God. He was all over the place in that game.
Like,
he was awful.
Like it was some sort of fluke. Anyway, me asks, how do you feel about facing the Yankees again later this year? Price, I feel great moving forward for the rest of the season and great facing the Yankees again, whenever that may be. That's a team I've pitched a lot against in my career, probably more than against any team in the big leagues, maybe with the exception of Toronto. I've pitched against both of them a lot, and I've had some bad games against the Yankees a few times. I gave up nine straight hits against them when I was in Detroit in 2015. Nine straight hits. No walks, no sack flies, no hit-by-pitches, nine straight knocks. And I just had to stop right there, and if you weren't following along, that's David Price saying that, not Dan Shaughnessy saying that. That's David Price admitting.
I actually give him credit for that.
Yeah, right? That's the antithesis of that hitting three straight guys thing. He said, well, it just got away from me. I was trying to go inside and it just got too far inside. Well, no, did you do anything wrong? Where here, he admits, I gave up nine straight hits against him when I was in Detroit. Nine straight hits, no walks, no sack flies, no hit by pitches, nine straight knocks. So that's sort of like making a little humility there.
Yeah, making fun of himself. Like, boy, I sucked that day. Nine hits in a row. Nine of them. Everything I threw up there. Like, nine in a row. Nine hits. I got it.
I can't. It just gets away from me, whether it's too many hits or too many hits batsmen. I've had bad games. Oh, there's another one. Eight. Hit another one. There's nine. There's ten. 11.
So Shaughnessy asks him, have you been able to tune out the noise around you here in Boston? Price answers, yes. I'm still not a subscriber to whatever papers there are. I don't know the last time I've listened to AM or FM radio.
Those are dying mediums.
Me.
Lie.
Dan
lie.
Shaughnessy asks, have you heard the guy who does a killer impression of you on the Sports Hub, Jim Murray?
Hi.
Price. No. We know that to be a lie for a fact, like, don't we?
Correct. I think so.
I mean, hasn't he basically reamed out some guys? And
well, as Beadle pointed out in the midday show, and rightfully so, there's an out here. You know, there's something missing from Price's answer. He says he hasn't subscribed to the papers or listened to AM or FM radio. This show is simulcast on television. He didn't say anything about TV
well,
there.
But how about the one about, have you heard?
Yeah, this is the one I read into this too.
Have
Go
you
ahead.
Heard the guy who does a killer impression of you on the Sports Hub? And Price says no. Is there any wriggle room for him there? Meaning,
heard about it. It hasn't actually.
I mean, that feels like a flat out lie because haven't we heard stories for fact of him saying things in the locker room about it or reaming out some Comcast guys because of it or. Like,
yeah, there was some speculation on behalf of, I forget who it was, one of the guys that used to write for the Herald. He was on a CLNS media podcast. We played some of that audio, and his belief was that Evan Drellick of Comcast Sportsnet got some blowback because Price thought, I don't know, guilty by association.
Right.
Drellick was holding the mic flag, which is the same mic flag as ours on TV, and Price associates the Comcast, now NBC Sports Boston people, with us.
Well, that's not the part I read into, though. Keep going.
Okay, so anyway.
I'll get there in a minute.
I just found he's denying any knowledge of you, Murray.
That's fine.
David then is asked by Shaughnessy, I know you talked to John Morosi, MLB.com, a little bit about this. Any chance you could opt out of your contract with the Sox at the end of the year? Price, I'm not going to sit here and say there's 0% chance when there's always a chance of anything. But that's nothing that I'm thinking about or putting any thought to or talking to anyone else about. I expect to win, and I expect to do that here. That's a good answer.
Yeah, if you're a Red Sox fan, you should be encouraged by this. He's not ruling it out.
It's a good answer, and just the fact that he's acknowledging
it. And it's an honest answer.
Yes.
Yep, it's out there. I'm not saying no because who knows? It might happen.
Right, as opposed to, I was just pitching in. I didn't mean to be that far in. Which is totally denying the problem there. At least in that Yankee answer, he showed some humility. Yeah, they've ripped my face in at times. And on this one, he says, well, I'm not going to rule out anything because there's always a chance of anything. at least approaching an honest answer there.
Right. No, he acknowledges that there is a possibility that he'd opt out. Fine. Good. At least we know.
Says, how do you feel about playing here? Question. Answer. I don't have no problem with it. I need to go out there and pitch better. But it seems like you hate it here, asks Dan. Do you hate Boston? Answer. I've never said I hated Boston or had a problem with the fans. That's a perception that's put on me through you guys, Dan writes in parentheses, in the media. That's what that is, Price says. It's like when we were in Minnesota and I said I wasn't deserving of being an all-star, didn't think I should be an all-star, and then all that crap got put out. It turns into that. So write what you want to write.
Okay, so hold on. So when he was in Minnesota and talked about the All-Star game and skipping it if he played Fortnite, blah, 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 that all became a big thing. How does he know if he doesn't listen to the radio or read the papers?
Good question. Dan asks, do you ever wish you signed somewhere else? Answer, no. Chauncey writes, that was it for our interview. Price was professional, polite, and direct. I thanked him for his time and went upstairs and watched the Sox knock around the Rangers. He says, as always, there's an element of piling on when it comes to Price. He's 9-6 with a 4.44 ERA. He's not having that bad of a season. But our mythical caller on line one asks the right questions. Can Price pitch against the Yankees again? Can you trust him in the playoffs?
No.
No. So, again, I don't know how you could. This is sort of my point now when you say, well, you know, I leave open the possibility with the Red Sox that they could do well in October. Fine, good for you. How about Price? How do you think Price is going to do?
I leave open the possibility that every dog has his day. You know, that's a core philosophy of mine.
Sure, yeah.
Every dog has his day. Everyone has a breakthrough.
I personally would say that that's an obvious truth. But if I were betting on it, I'd bet against them. You?
I'd probably bet against Price.
Okay, so there you go. And this is why I say with the Red Sox, I question whether at the big moments, after watching them go into New York for two series now and get their asses kicked, two of them, I look at them and say, can they really show up at the big moment against a good team? Can they do that? I hope they can, but I have my doubts.
Let's pick this up on the other side in our long commercial-free segment.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want to be ready day one of spring training. You know, day one of spring training, you kind of want to be like opening day. Try to pay attention to your body. You know, a big thing about today is I want to feel good tomorrow. You know, right now is the time that you can make sure that your body feels good and stuff like that. And you know, I feel like that's what a lot of guys do in spring training.
Love me, say that you love me. Don't boo. Please do not boo me. Love me, love me. Pretend that you love me. Need me, need me. Please, Sox fans, need me.
Never heard of it, Murray.
I don't know what you're talking about. Nope, never heard it. Don't subscribe to newspapers. Don't listen to the radio.
I just feel like, I mean, look, I've obviously been very hard on the man. Certainly no fan of his. I won't root for him. I wouldn't be shocked if he saw me in the street that he'd want to choke me dead, and probably be deserving so. I've been hard on him. But I refuse to believe that he hasn't heard this. Like, come on. If he's lighting up Evan Drellick and even Trenny a couple of years ago when they got into the playoffs against Cleveland, he was kind of rude to her, and he had the goggles on because they're all spraying around champagne, and he's just sitting there being all monotone. I can't be bothered with this crap. What mic flags are they holding? NBC Sports Boston, then Comcast Sportsnet. Guilt by association. They know about this show. He knows about the stupid impersonation. Please.
See, so just quickly, like with him, I'm not rooting against him.
I am.
I'm not. I know you are, but I am not. I'm not rooting. In fact, if he were to like have a great game in the postseason,
oh, great story.
Oh my gosh, unbelievable story. And he walks off the mound and the crowd gets up and all. How do you know?
Double freedom riders.
Yeah. Oh, that would be like, I would say, there you go.
Good
see?
Story. Yes.
You can do it. You actually can.
You love me. They believed in me.
But now, if you ask me, do I think he can do it? I don't know. I have my doubts.
Please.
He's had so many chances that it's hard not to look at him at this stage and say, why should I have confidence in you?
And after that 9-game stretch, where even again, I'm looking at him, I'm like, wow, all right, this is a turnaround. He's shoving it down my throat. And good. You know, I would like to be wrong. I would with this pitcher. I don't think I'm going to be. And then he talks all that crap and, yep, uh-huh, Fortnite. That's what I'm concerned about. That's what I'm doing. Hates the media. Get it. Rightfully so. Hates being here. And then he goes out there and he implodes. Implodes in the on the biggest stage possible with the lights at their brightest. Luis Severino, it should have been, if he was on his game, that would have been a pitcher's duel. Maybe comes down to a 2-1 game. He's nails, and okay, the narrative changes. It does a complete 180. Five home runs. First couple of pitches, you can just see it.
The burden of the Yankees. They're in my head. In my head. Yankees. Yankees. Oh, no. Oh, oh, oh. There goes another one.
Same thing's going to happen again and again with this guy. And then he follows it up with this game against Kansas City. Did you see this on Saturday?
I missed it.
Dude, just go watch the highlights. Like, it's same thing. Again, you can see the huffing, the puffing, thinking too much. It's the same thing over and over. You can see when he's laboring, it's not a physical thing. His hand's not numb. It's all in his head. It's a mental issue with this player.
Let me ask you one more thing. Unrelated to this, before we go to the top of the hour and before I get back to your calls again, I promise I'll get right back to you. We start with Red Sox. I've been off for the last week. I just want to ask you guys... have you watched the soccer?
I have. I love it.
And do you care?
Very little of it. I mean, I care casually, like, you know, just to see who's going to win it. But honestly, with the Americans out of it, no, I've watched very little of it.
So there's been nothing that's drawn you to it?
Nope, not really. Nope. I mean, again, I know who's playing in the final. I know it's France and Croatia. And I'm inclined, just out of my instinct, to root against the French.
When it's on, do you watch it?
Not really, no. I did a little bit yesterday. I mean, it was on in the studio while we were doing the show, and I did turn my head up every now and then because I had some interest in the English and that whole story. You know, the fact that they haven't been to the final or whatever in 40-some-odd years or whatever it is. Like, but no, I'm not drawn to it, no.
Murray?
I love it. It's everything that I'm looking for as, like, a neutral sports fan when I want to kind of connect with something, and that's it can bring me sports schadenfreude, and it can bring it in spades. There's been things that have been easy for me to root for or against. For instance, like the guy that I refer to and makes the soccer fans so mad, which I love, soccer Peyton Manning, Lionel Messi, who, you know, well, he always wins at the Euro stage, and that means more. No, this is the World Cup. Don't try to convince yourselves otherwise. This is the most important soccer tournament there is. He gags like Peyton Manning has time and again. Well, I know he won two titles, but still, I like referring to him as soccer Peyton Manning, and guess what? Him and Argentina gagged again. Spain, they're easy to root against because of
Ronaldo,
so they lose. No,
he's Portugal. But anyway, go ahead.
This English team, yesterday, like Maz just said, oh, you know, they look like all of a sudden, like, is this going to be the next team, like this F'n Washington Capitals team, the Philadelphia Eagles, Cleveland finally gets a title. Like, the sports world's upside down to me. I needed this to be corrected. I needed England out. England is out. I see all those Brits crying in the streets, like, oh, me mate, I can't believe, oh, my God, we lost, the boys have lost. Like, all of this. This is what I want. I like the tournament. I didn't care if the U.S. was in it. I think it's entertaining. There's no commercial breaks during the game. It's an easy watch. You're in, you're out in a couple of hours. I like it. It gives me stuff to root for or against.
I'm just curious how people feel about it. I'm not preaching. Those days are over. I told you when the U.S. men's...
Preach away.
Couldn't... No, because I'm not going to advocate for the sport anymore.
I can't bring myself to root for the French.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I'm just... I told
that's
you.
A side topic.
No, that's my one that's my one interest. I can't bring myself to root for the
It gives you
a
reason to tune into the final, though.
Yeah,
I root for Croatia.
Can't root for France in anything, ever.
There's countries to admire and there's countries to hate.
Right.
And England is a country to admire. I always do go back to World War II and who sort of nutted up and who didn't. I can't help it. Like, I just sort of go back to that world conflict. And whichever side you were on and how sympathetic you were to the Nazis or unsympathetic, I sort of, like, that's where I draw the line and that's who I root against or for. So, like, the Brits and the French, like, that's an easy one. Wouldn't that have been an easy route, you know, right
totally.
There?
Absolutely.
But even this one, Croatia, France?
Croatia. I'm thinking about going to get a Croatian jersey.
It ain't France. Like that. But so the rooting interests are there. But again, so just back to what I was saying, I'm not going to preach about the sport. But I'm curious, just, you know, because I haven't been here in over a week, and the tournament's been going on for weeks. Has it gotten anybody? Has it gotten you, Murray?
Yeah, and I think it's been good theater, too. There's been some of these matches that have been ridiculous. Belgium-Japan, about a week and a half ago, whatever that was. Japan's up 2-0. They end up losing 3-2 in, like, the most brutal way possible. The penalty kick match was at Croatia and Russia last week. Like, you know, I want Russia out. Screw them and Putin.
How did Putin not arrange that one?
Right.
I was watching that one. I'm like, I bet automatically. You give me the right. There's no way. The Ruskies are going to tie that game up late. Didn't they tie it late?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So there's no way they're going to tie that late and it's going to go to kicks. And Putin is going to allow Croatia to beat Russia on Russian soil in kicks. There's guns pointed at someone somewhere. The Russians are going to win this. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that was on the level. Like, holy moly. How did Putin let that one slip? But believe me, someone paid the price.
Someone
has paid the
Someone's
price.
Someone's disappeared.
Somewhere down, yes.
Or has been sent to Siberia.
Took the wrong sip of coffee and is, you know, no longer with us on that Russian side. I think it's a good watch. I do. I still do enjoy the sport. Let me ask you this, Maz. If you're at home and you have an hour and you have a choice between, call it a Wimbledon tennis match or the World Cup, what are you watching?
Probably the World Cup. I mean, again, my
you have to watch one.
Yeah, I'd pick the World Cup. I think I would. I don't know anybody in tennis anymore. I used to love tennis when I was a kid. I used to watch a lot of it. But now, I mean, I couldn't even tell you, like, I know some of the names.
Zero buzz.
No, none.
Tennis has zero buzz.
I mean, like, you know, I tell you, okay, you know, Serena Williams, fine, but I wouldn't sit down to watch because she's going to destroy whoever she plays.
Don't you remember Wimbledon when we were kids and the 4th of July? I just, like, have these 4th of July memories of the tennis always being on and being such a huge deal. Like, so huge. Like, everyone's glued to it. And now it's like just about nothing. And the soccer has a little bit of buzz. Now, half the buzz is hatred. The people hate it and don't want to even hear you mention it. And then the other people are just sort of into it. But there's like buzz to the soccer. There's zero with the tennis.
No, I told you, I'd probably watch the World Cup. And I said this to someone the other day. This is not BS. I'm not drawn to it. I'm not. I know some of the names. I know some of the histories. But I'm not drawn to it. But there's no international tournament like it. There's nothing else like it in the world.
And it has been. And there's nothing like the closest is Olympic hockey. Best on best, you know, where the whole world can compete at it.
Right. But even then, in Olympic hockey, it's so regionalized.
It is. It's only six countries.
Right. Everybody can play soccer. I mean, it's a true global event. I don't think there's a tournament like it in the world.
No question. And this one's been a lot of.
Most of these matches, I think, have been really entertaining.
Really interesting games. Interesting games, interesting finishes, all of that. It has been. I also like watching it with an American crowd where I'm heartened every time I see it. Everyone start getting on the weenies rolling around on the ground in anguish, you know, with the faking and the flopping and then the faking of, injuries. I'm watching in a bar where half the room is going, get up, get up, get up. You're fine, Neymar. Get up, get up, get up, get up. It's a huge turnoff. Here in this country, don't you think that whole business
definitely
makes it unwatchable for a lot of people?
I mean, this one yesterday and you know, the last Brazil match when they got knocked out, it's flop, flop, flop all over
brutal.
The place. So that makes it tough. But if you're watching it with people like that, it is kind of entertaining. You got some suds in you just to make fun of them.
Oh,
and again, the no commercials thing. I think you give it 10 minutes, even if you haven't paid attention, like watch the final. It's just the flow of it. Like, I think it eventually will grab you. Like, I don't know. I wasn't the biggest soccer fan, but in the last 10 years or so, I've paid attention to this tournament. It's a fun watch. I don't need the U.S. to be in it. Just pick a team, maybe place a bet, have a couple of drinks. I think you'll enjoy it after 10, 15 minutes.
I'm not allowed to say it anymore. I recuse myself, so I'm not saying it, but I'm asking you, Murray, is soccer still coming?
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
I mean, I say yes. Again, it's been slowed, but it's coming.
Okay, here's we can pick this up on the Red Sox right after the update. No commercials.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station.